Can you just touch your ears and say, God, allow me to hear what you want me to hear today. Speak to me, then speak through me. And allow me to be the warrior you've called me to become. In Jesus' name. As I said before, we're not a classic church any longer. We are in partnership. We are partners together so that we can minister the gospel in such a way that we can change a world, or at least change our community, or at least change our family. It's about change. It's about transformation. Today I'm going to be ministering along the Wide Awake and All In. Everybody say Wide Awake, and All In. And my title today will be No Backup Plan. Say that back to me. We live in a society where we have to have a backup plan. But let me just say this. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. We have to learn to let go of the escape route, the escape plan. We have to learn to let go of the safety net. When I'm talking about God, when I'm speaking of His Spirit, because God truly wants to move on your behalf, but He only wants to move on those people that really believe that He is God and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you see, when we follow the Lord or the Holy Spirit's leading, it's not best for us if we try, if we try to hold back on something. You can't hold back. It's best, His leading is best when we don't hold back. Amen. When we let go and let God in our lives. Try to understand where I'm coming from today, because I want you to grow. I want you to transform. I want you to develop into an area where you can accomplish great things for God. You say, well, I'm only worried about paying my bills tomorrow. Well, you know what? Your bills will be there tomorrow. You know, you're worried about your child, which is become a moronic thing. Your child that's a moronic or a moron will be there tomorrow. Doc, your practice will be there tomorrow. So let all that go right now, because we need to learn how we can develop our spirit. Our spirit must be developed. And let me tell you something. I was talking to a lot of pastors this week. I told them exactly what I was doing and why I was doing it, and they all conferred that you're right. Matter of fact, I don't have a new father in the Lord, but I have adopted a father in the Lord since my father passed away. His name, I'll just tell you straight up, Coy Barker is the man that I'm pointing to right now. He's built 4 mega churches in 4 major cities. And I'm going to have him come speak because his testimony will shake you to the core. It literally will shake you to the core. But I mentioned to them about what we're doing and how we're doing it and how we're bringing the families in like this to sit together. And they said, well, that's crazy, because a lot of the pastors we're talking to, that's exactly what they're doing. They're tired of segregating their audience where the parents are in one room and the children in another. He said, when the families should be coming together to learn of the Lord together and to experience the Spirit. Amen? So, if we're going to go all in, wide awake and all in, that means we're going to have to let go of those things that have brought us comfort, that have brought us peace of mind, that has created for us an escape plan or a safety net. We're going to have to get rid of all the emergency exits. Now stay with me on this. Because what I'm speaking about today is a way to walk in faith. You have to do away with the emergency exits. And I'm thrilled today that you're here. Turn to somebody and say, I'm thrilled you're here. And I'm thrilled when I woke up this morning. I averaged, Doc, you like this in conferences, I'd average 4 hours of sleep a night this week. And I told my wife, I took a shower and the sun hadn't even started to come up yet. And then had to be on my feet all day long. And so, for me to say I'm excited, I wanted to be in the house of the Lord today with you, because I believe that we strengthen one another. But I'm excited when I woke up early this morning before the sun ever thought about coming up. I'm excited when I thought about the promises of God. I'm wide awake, all in, and he has given me some promises. And I thought about those promises, how special they are, because it is, if I read the scripture correctly, and I believe that I have, it says that it's impossible for God to lie. If that is true, then all the promises he has said, as the Bible says, they are yea and amen in him, then I am going to expect his promise to be active in my life. I expect his promise to be active in my life. Say it again. I expect his promise to be active in my life. If not, then what are we doing? Why are we doing what we do, Jeff? Jimmy, why are we even doing it? If I can't believe that God is, he was, he is, and he is to come, and his promises are sure, then what are we doing? See, I'm expecting something great out of this group. I'm expecting a leadership group here where we, when God gives us the command, and I don't know what those commands are yet, but he's going to give them. And when he does, because somebody prophesied to me this week that God's going to speak audibly and I'm going to know exactly what God wants me to do. Now, when he does that, I want us to be prepared to do whatever he says. Do y'all want that? You say, well, I don't know if I want it. You better want it, because your life is linked to it. Your prosperity is linked to it. So I'm excited about his promises. Can you say that to God? As a matter of fact, if it had not, Ricky, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we wouldn't even be here today. We would not even be here today. Y'all better stay with me on this. Matter of fact, I'm going to go on a little step further. We shouldn't be here today. We shouldn't be here today. With all the mess we've gone through and the struggles and the pain and the heartache and the hurt, we shouldn't be here today. When the doctor looks at you and says, you're not going to get well, I had a man tell me today, this week, which I love and respect, he said, I've got 6 months to live. The doctor said 6 months. But I said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what the world says. I don't care even what medical science says, although they are knowledgeable and they speak out of their knowledge, but God speaks out of his promises. And I said, I shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here, but watch this. But grace. Everybody say grace. What happened? Grace changed the verdict. When all hell came against you this week, grace changes the verdict. When you're sick and can't get well, grace changes the verdict. It stops the verdict. The world says you can't do it. The verdict is changed today. When he says you can't go anywhere, grace, the enabling power of God, says it's going to change. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Grace is the power behind God's promises and his word. So it doesn't matter if I feel lost, I feel undone. I have a grace that supports me. I hope you're catching this. So, because this week when you're going through some stuff, you need to stop and say. Matter of fact, let me say this. Next week is Kingdom First Sunday. If we can get everybody here at one time, it'll be amazing. How many people were here last week? Raise your hand. Now, good. How many people were not here last week? Raise your hand. If we get them all together, we won't be able to see them. But next week is Kingdom First Sunday. And I want you to bring a piece of paper and something to write on, because I'm going to do something. It won't take long, but it's going to do something that I believe the Lord spoke to me this week that I did with pastors. And people came to me saying, it changed my life. And it was very simple. Grace changes the verdict. I can be in court, and it doesn't matter what the judge says. It doesn't matter what the attorneys say. When grace steps in, he changes the verdict. I don't know if that makes y'all excited or not, but some of you aren't making it. Some of you are just making it from week to week, from paycheck to paycheck. But grace can change the verdict. The problem is we've forgotten. Here, I'm going to get off on this, James. Here we go. Jason, I mean. Y'all want to laugh a little bit. I'm singing. They called me up to sing, which I just don't do no more. But they had a full band, and they had some guys that could rock. And they called me up. James Payne was singing, and they called me up there, and I took off screaming. And they people went crazy. But I was singing. I'm singing about God on the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corner. God very much. Well, we was changing. I said, he's God in Michael Chitwood. He's God in James Payne. And I turned to the other guy, and I'm screaming. And I said, he's God in, I don't know your name. As a matter of fact, his name was Jason. And everybody laughed, but man, we was tearing it up. All the vocal cord I had left, Doc, it's gone. It's gone. But no matter what's going on in our lives, grace will change the verdict. Get that in your heart. It has to be with God, all or nothing. Say that back to me. A just-in-case mentality. Everybody stay with it. A just-in-case mentality will not work with God. Just in case. I want to walk in faith, but just in case. I'm going to give to the Lord, but just in case. The problem is we don't even tip God. We go to a restaurant and maybe some of you don't. But but you know what? Those people are working hard. But we don't want to even tip God. But just in case, I'll serve God just in case there's a heaven. Come on now. I'll serve God just in case there's a hell. Now, I don't believe in hell, but just in case, I'm going to serve God. Maybe just in case I need a healing, I'll serve God just to see if he'll show up. You see, it doesn't work for God that way. I mean, if my wife is my wife, and matter of fact, this is our anniversary. Today is our anniversary. I don't live with her just in case. Or in other words, she ain't going to allow me to go out and find two or three other women just in case she gets. How many of you other women allow your husband to go out and just in case? You're not going to. Don't say it, Crystal. He'll go. I've heard women say, I prayed that he'd leave, and he left, and they're crying. Preacher told me that this week. He said, my wife of 23 years walked out the door. I said, yes, sir. Is that what happened? He said, that's what happened. I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, she came back 3 months later and said, I want to come back. He said, hell no. You see, that just in case don't work. And you think God will take just in case, but he won't. He will not take just in case. Well, I'll serve and I'll give just in case it might work. God have mercy. Oh, as a matter of fact, let me say this. I'm not trying to preach a formal message today. I'm just trying to be talking. You were instrumental in supporting this week the ICCM Bible College and Institute. They've got 300 students now. And, Doc, they're building a beautiful facility. Of course, Michael Chitwood's underwriting a lot of it because it's huge money. But it is gorgeous. And we've already got 300 students. Got the professors. I was in their graduation this week. And people getting their doctor's degree and their master's. And I'm thinking, we're a part of all that. We're partners in that. We're making something happen. We're teaching young men how to dress and how to walk and how to talk and how to do the things they need to do along with education. It's important. Excuse me if I sidestep and tell you those things, but you're part of it. We were part of it. It's big. It's not little. It's a big thing. But I'm not going to serve God just because of things he things that might come my way. I serve him because, now watch this. I serve him because he is my heavenly Father and he's the creator of all things. I serve him because of that. I serve him because I love him. I serve him because when I wake up in the morning, matter of fact, I couldn't even sleep this week. My wife, her name is Denise, she said, I almost said another name, but I got rid of her this week. She said, why didn't you go to sleep? I said, because God didn't let me. He's talking to me, dealing with me, giving me thoughts. As a matter of fact, he said to me, I'm going to give you a fresh vision. Talking to me about ministry. And I'm waiting now for that command. Because I know that when he gives it, we're going to get it done. We're just going to get it done. Jesus never called anyone in this room. You say, well, I'm not in ministry. Hey, you're in ministry. When you walk out of here today, you're in ministry. When you talk to your wife, you're in ministry. When you talk to your children, you're in ministry. Matter of fact, the greatest church you've ever had, Jason, is sitting right there on that pew with you. They can either change our society or the landscape of the church, or they could destroy it. And you are the pastor of that church. Does that make sense? You are. You are. Jesus never called us to have a halfway kind of faith. He never said halfway kind of faith. Matter of fact, Doc, he never offered us a plan B. He didn't offer a plan B. He said to his men, follow me. Follow me. And following him means full surrender. Remember the song, I surrender all, I surrender all? It's more than a song. It's actually what you do. Jesus said in Matthew 4:18, he said, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. And I love all y'all. I missed y'all. And walking by, y'all don't miss me, but I miss y'all. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Tell me what they were. What was their occupation? How'd they feed their family? How'd they pay their bills? You're right. They were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you now fishers of men. That is key. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. They straightway left their profession, left their calling, left the way they were feeding their families and said, if you say follow me, we're following you. And he said, I will make you. You can't do it halfway and him make you anything. He's just not that kind of God. He said, and I will make you. I will make you. Matter of fact, in the mafia, if you are a made man, it means you are right there in the family. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're a made man. I said, what do you mean, God? Because you're my son. You're the one that I've called. You're a made man. You're a made woman. You are in the family. He says in Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must. It doesn't say might or shall or it doesn't put any word in there to where you can get out of it. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. That's a daily thing. I've got to do it on a daily basis. I've got to kill Alan. Because I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to say it again, mark it down, you'll never get into the Holy of Holies. You'll never get close to God without dying. You have to die to self. Things that you think you want and things that you think you need and all those things, God, I'll show you. He'll give you everything. He really will, but you have to willingly give everything up. Did God answer our prayer? My sister here, I prayed and I spoke the word to her. She told me today, she knew when I said it what I was talking about because she was working on a job position. Did it work? See, it works. It worked. God answered her prayer. And I'm glad she's here today, because they said she wouldn't be here, but she did. Keyshawn, you were wrong. I'm glad you're wrong. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whosoever loses their life for me will save it. That's powerful. Question. What are you afraid of losing when God is offering to you everything? What are you afraid of losing? I'm afraid of losing my house. You can get another one. Stay with me. I'm afraid of losing my car. You can get another one. Well, I'm afraid of losing my practice. Do you know what? You could get another one. You may make it even better. Well, there's nothing you could lose in this world except you losing who you are, that you can't get it back. You can get it back. How many people have lived that out in their life where you had to start over and you got it back? It's just the truth. So I'm not worried about anything, giving anything up or losing anything, when I know God has given me everything. You can't follow fully, according to the scriptures, you can't follow fully while holding back. You can't do it. You can't carry a cross and carry a backup plan at the same time. You just can't do that. As a matter of fact, I'll take you to, you don't have to read these scriptures. When you get home, you can read it in 1 Kings 19. But you understand, remember the story of Elijah was walking one day, and as he walked, he was walking around, he walked by of a young man called Elisha. And Elisha was out plowing in the field with his oxen. And what did he do? The Bible says he's walking by Elisha, and he throws his mantle on him and keeps on walking. Now, I questioned that today. I said, Lord, what did you do? He's out there plowing. He's got a yoke of oxen, and that comes at great cost. And the utensils comes at great cost. But he throws the mantle. Now, watch this. I said, Lord, what about the garment? Why? What did it mean? Just a piece of cloth. Oh, no. The mantle represented Elijah's prophetic authority and anointing. Amen. And placing it on Elisha. When he threw it on Elisha, it was an indication that God had chosen Elisha to carry on Elijah's mission. All of that with one casting of the mantle, throwing it on him. That's found in first. And then let me take you to 1 Kings 19:21. I'll read this verse. So Elisha, after throwing the mantle on him, he's out there working. First Kings 19:21. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He killed the ox. Now watch. He burned the plowing equipment, helping to cook the meat. To cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. They ate up his work. They ate up his occupation. They ate up everything he had. Now watch. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant, his attendant. How many people would do that? Elisha turned his plow and ox. He burned his plow and his oxen before he ever followed Elijah. Burning the plow meant, I'm not going back. Amen. I'm not going back. I mean, how many people would you like to marry, but before they married you, they put up a contract with an escape clause? Now, I'm going to marry you, but if in 3 weeks I don't like you, I'm walking. I don't know many people would sign that escape clause. If not, we'd have hundreds of marriages, because you know you can escape. I wouldn't marry somebody who wanted to escape. I want to kill them. I mean, torture them. Wait. So he burns the plow, he eats the meat. There's no way. Where is he going to come back to? He's saying to Elijah, I'm all in. And then I find out that something very important, that if we aren't all in, then we're a double-minded person. We're a double-minded person. And the Bible teaches me that we're unstable. I'm going to read it to you, James 1:6-8. But when he asks, he must, if you're asking of God, you must believe and not doubt. You have to be all in. Because he who doubts is like a wave of a sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man or that woman, hear this now, that man or that woman should not think he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Instability will cause your promises to fade away. You will not get the answer you want. Divided loyalty leads to delayed obedience. Divided loyalty leads to delayed obedience. Heard a preacher talking this week about obedience. He said, it's not obedience God's wanting. I'm thinking, what are you preaching? Some preachers need to really sit down and think. And I'm sitting there listening to him, because I was coming up right behind him. And I knew what I was going to say, and I knew what I was going to nail this thing down hard. Didn't need to be obedient. And I'm thinking, what in the world? So I got up and I said, God wants obedience. He's sitting there listening. I can say, God requires obedience and alignment. Because if you're out of alignment, you know, I said, if you're on the expressway in your car, you're going 70 miles an hour and your car's out of line, you're going to know it. And I said, the problem is we don't want to be obedient, and we don't want to be in alignment with God. He got quiet. I'm just simple. When people say things, I listen. It's like, why are you saying that when you know it's not right? Then they attack things they don't need to attack, like grace. Calling grace is greasy grace and sloppy grace. And I'm like, wait a minute. I got up right behind it and said, grace changes the verdict. That's just me. God starts talking to me. I am not going to allow anyone to tell me that God can't work on my behalf, or what I'm going to do for God, or how I'm going to do it for God. I say, Bishop, are you okay? I'm fine. I may be a little tired. I am weary. But I am more convinced now that God is in control than ever before in my life. I'm convinced of it. Now, I'm going to say this. If you remember Walinda, the great high wire walker. Now, if Walinda never worked with a safety net. Why? Help me. What'd you say, Ricky? He knew he wasn't going to fall. He was confident. So anybody, a trapeze artist or a high wire operator, yeah, you say, well, I've got the safety net. Why? Ask them why. Well, just in case I make a mistake. No, no, no. They were confident that they could do the job without the safety net. They didn't need it. Could you imagine? How about you? Let's all go parachuting after church today. Let's go parachuting. And let's say we go in there, we're going to go parachute, which I don't think many of you do it when you get up there 5,000 feet and look out that window. And they give you a parachute that says parachute A, and this is your parachute. And they say, put it on, you only got one chute. And you look over and you see plan B. I don't know about y'all, but I don't need plan B. I want plan A to work. Would you really want to jump? Because you realize plan B is still in the plane. Plan B is in the plane. You'll only jump when you are confident that what you have will work. Well, see, I'm confident that when I jump, God will work. When I move, God will move. When I speak, God will speak through me. I am not in the least bit shook. I'm not nervous. I'm not afraid I'll have something to say or not say. I'm not afraid you'll like me. Whether you like me or not, it's not going to change who I am. But it will change the way you receive your blessing. Now that is imperative. I'll get into that some other time, because that's just the fact of the word. So, how many people want a plan B? I don't want a plan B when it comes to things like that. I want it to work the first time. I don't get in an elevator and I see a button say, just in case it falls 30 floors, press this button. No, I want to know that elevator is going to work. God doesn't need a safety net to catch you. Why? Because he never lets go of you anyway. He never lets go of you anyway. Here's the thought. This will help you. The moment you let go of just in case, you make room for just in faith. Just in case will keep you away from just in faith. Say it back with me. And that's fact. That's just fact. When this gentleman told me he had 6 months to live, I said, you know what? I'm not buying that. And I'm praying for complete healing. Amen. Had cancer one time, Doc, it's a problem. And they did all the stuff that they're supposed to do, and he's totally healed. But then he went for a 6-month checkup, and it had come back another place, and it was more aggressive this time. And he said, I've got 6 months to live. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't want to lose you. There is no plan B here. When you're in the coffin, that's not the plan B to me. Amen. Plan A is you getting up and saying, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I will live and not die. Sometimes I feel like I'm dying. I was wore out, man. I was so tired. You stand on your feet from 5:30 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, and you realize the shoes you thought were comfortable are not that comfortable. They're just not that comfortable. I laid down in bed that night. Finally, I think I went to sleep somewhere around 12 or 1, and knowing I was having to get up early, and I'm thinking, why are my feet hurting so bad? They're killing me. I had no plan B. That's why you see me wearing certain shoes. It's because I'm not stupid anymore. I ain't wearing those. I don't care about glamour. I want comfort. I want to be like Randy over there. Can I have some water? Y'all would have been proud of me this week. I mean, people coming up to me saying, this is exactly what I needed. These are pastors, not just regular church folk, saying, that's what I needed. Matter of fact, we were talking about that in the car, but you said what we were just thinking about. Well, I said, that's the problem. You're thinking about it and not saying it. Thank you. Here's the thought. Again, let's say it. Just in case, you eradicate all that, and once you do that, you walk in just in faith. Here's my scripture for that. By faith, Abraham went, though he did not know where he was going. Hebrews 11:8. Abraham went that he didn't know where he was going. How many people would like that? Hey, we're going to go on a trip. You're going to go on a trip. Now, what am I going to do? I just want you to head out in that car there, and when you get there, you'll know it. Because I'm going to, well, I don't want to do that. I mean, especially my wife, she wants to know everything. She wants to know every stop in the road before we're getting there. I mean, that's just fact. She wants to know, when are we going to get our snacks? When are we going to get gas? When are we going to get? She wants to know it all. I'm like, hey, I don't care, man. I fly by the seat of my pants. Yeah, that's just what I do. But sometimes that gets me in trouble. Here's this. By faith, Abraham went even though he didn't know where he was going. That's Hebrews 11:8. Faith begins, mark it down, faith begins where certainty ends. Faith begins where certainty ends. Because sometimes you just don't know. But you have to lean on the fact that God is more than able. God is more than able. He heard me and he answered my cry. Amen. Hey, it's early. I can preach another hour. What's the key? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Do you know what gets you more in trouble than anything else in this world? I'll talk to somebody on the back. Ben, you know what that is? It's when you start trusting in your thoughts more than the Word of God. That's what will get you in trouble. When you lay down at night, and I've had the claw of negativity try to claw at me, even last night. I woke up in the middle of the night fighting. I mean, I kicked the snot out of my wife in the middle of the night, and I told her I was. I did. I told her I was asleep. She said, "Yeah, right." Man, I got her good too. I got her good too. I hate it when people go to sleep on me in church. Good to see you, Doc. Where was I? Put me back on track. Yeah. She said, "What were you doing? That hurt." I was in a fight in my dreams because I was praying for somebody and somebody was trying to attack me while I was praying. I'm even going in battles in my dreams. I kicked the snot out of that person because that's where I was trained to do in martial arts. That's who, and so I was just kicking, man. I was giving her the go, and I got her good, and I said, "Maybe she'll buy it." But sometimes you're going to have to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Then he says, in all your ways, everything you're doing, acknowledge him. That means when you get in the car, "Thank you, God." Have you ever thought about waking up in the morning and saying, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed." The mind, like my mind, with that call of negative thoughts coming in my mind about some of the things we're having to face. And it's like, my God, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, but then you start fighting. Even in your sleep, you don't even rest. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will make your path straight. That means everywhere you go, he's going to guide you properly. Every step you take, every breath you take, he's right there with you. He's guiding you, and it's he's not taking you the long route. He's going to take you the shortest route possible. God is better than a GPS. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It leaves no room for backup. No room for a backup plan, folks. You're all in. You're awake and all in. So here's a question. What is it that we're holding on to or just in case, God doesn't come through? What is it? And you've got it. There's the little things in your mind. What are you going to do? What is your just in case? What is it? You see, commitment. Everybody say commitment. When you commit your ways unto the Lord, you acknowledge him in all your ways, commitment brings clarity. Yes. Things will start getting clear. You'll start seeing things differently. Here's your thought. Many people are confused about their purpose, not because God hasn't spoken, because God has spoken, but because they haven't let go. So we're confused about our purpose, not because God hasn't moved. It's because we won't let go and let God have his perfect way. He says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," which means the way God does things, "his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. The king with his domain. And I thought about that. And all these things will be added unto you. The things you may be afraid of losing may actually come after you let go. Praise the Lord. After you let go, God may just bring it to pass because you let go. You, You take a deep breath and you relax. It's hard to relax when you're sitting in the IRS room and the agent's looking at you going, yeah, we're going to get you on this one. Have you ever tried to sit in a court of law? I've had the opportunity to do that here lately. And the judge sitting there, and they can be mean. Those judges can be mean. They don't like it when you say, amen. They just don't like it. Or hallelujah, or forever, but he gonna put you in jail. The one I've been in with, he said, one more time like that, and I'm gonna put you in contempt. And he said, you'll spend the night in jail. That's what he said. Well, praise the Lord anyway. That's just the way it is. So the things you're afraid to lose may actually come after you let go. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? You let go of something and something better came? I want all those that's happened to, raise your hand and wave it at me. So letting go is not a bad thing, is it? It may be a God thing. Matter of fact, when you go and look at Genesis, the 22nd chapter, you remember that Abraham waited about 100 years to get a son. And then what does God do in Genesis 22? He says, hey, Abraham, I want you to take your son and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'd be difficult if it took me 100 years to get me a boy and I went out to kill him because God said. Can you imagine his wife standing at the door while she's walking out with Isaac and her almost 100 years old when she had him? Now, wait a minute. God said, what? You going to take him where? You going to do what to him? Boy, it would have been a bad night when he came home. Could you imagine that? But he takes Isaac because God says, I want you to take him to a certain place and sacrifice him for me. It was a test, though. It was only a test of letting go. That's all it was. A test of letting go when he said, sacrifice your only son. But what did God do? You're right. He sacrificed his only son. He did what he would not allow Abraham to do. God provided for Abraham fully only after he surrendered. Genesis 22:12. He stepped in. He's about to strike the knife to the heart of the young boy. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You're not going to withhold anything from me, so I'm not going to withhold anything from you. He said, that's a cruel thing. Well, in those days, they did sacrifices like that. That's what they did. They were sacrificing to false gods. So what he found out was, would Abraham, which came from that environment, would you sacrifice your only son after it took you 100 years to get him? Would you sacrifice your only son to your God? And all he was testing him to see if he'd do it. But now Abraham didn't know that. Abraham thought, this is what he wanted me to do. There may be some things you need to sacrifice. One sacrifice, maybe coming to church. Oh, that's asking too much, Bishop. One of them might be given as unto the Lord, maybe in our tithe and our offering. But, you know, well, that's an archaic God. God don't expect that anymore. Show me in the Bible where God don't expect it anymore. He said that's old covenant, Bishop. No, it's old covenant and new covenant. Because the new covenant only fulfilled that which was in the beginning. That's all it did. Has anybody been blessed because you gave to the Lord? Amen. Valerie, you ought to jump up and jounce and shout and do a couple of flips. Because God has never failed Valerie. She failed you, Michelle? She failed you, Terry? Has she failed you, Pat? Has she failed you, Pat? No, he hasn't. Has she failed you, my dear brother? today. No, he's never failed you. And he's not going to start now. But you have to put your trust in him. Completely. Now, lay not your hand to the sun. So whatever you give up, God can bring it back even more. Because what did he do? He looked up and there was, because the sun was confused. He said, well, I see the wood and I see everything you've got for, to do the sacrifice, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. He didn't realize he was main course. But God, when he said that, he provided a ram in the thicket. So there was a sacrifice, it just wasn't Isaac. What would you do today? I'm almost through. What would you do, or what would it look like if you were really, really, if you really trusted God in your life? What would it look like? What would you experience? So I'm going to give you a breakthrough challenge. I'm going to give you something to challenge you. Because commitment brings clarity, right? Yeah. Let's put it into action just for a moment. This week, when you're alone and you're just meditating, write down one thing you're afraid to let go. You don't have to tell your wife or your husband or your children. Write down one thing you're afraid to let go. A relationship, a dream, financial control, a version of success. Write it down. Then I want you to take that, lay it before you, and spend, I'm not only talking about 15 minutes. Then I want you, somebody said they were doing, Brother Jimmy said he did what I told him last week, and he read 12 chapters of Matthew, and he said, I enjoy it now. I'm getting up in the morning excited about it. Amen. It does work. Take that that you write, take those moments and talk to God about it. Act like he really hears you. Talk to God on why it's hard for me to let go. And ask him to help you trust him in such a way that you're ready to let go of it. Then do one act of faith this week. One act of faith this week that represents letting go of the backup plan. Just one. Just take one step and something that will speak to the fear you have of letting go of the backup plan and see what God will do for you. It makes sense to me because God's wanting to do something special for everybody in this room. He loves everybody. Let's start the back. He loves every single person in this room. I know you don't know where I did last night. I don't care what you did last night. I know what you're doing today, and I know that God is still God, and if you've asked him into your life, it doesn't matter what, he still loves you. You're still his child. Amen. Another preacher this week telling me how I was going to go to hell. I said, well, how do you do that? Because when you're born into Christ, you stay in Christ. You know what I mean? See, I challenge these people. They don't like me. I challenge. I said, well, I don't quite, but I've got a PhD. And I said, good. I got a fist. Now, here's what. That doesn't impress me. What impresses me is what God says to me when they say it. Are y'all with me? See, I want to have the kind of faith that when you call me up and say, I'm dying, Bishop, I want to be able to pray and you stand up. Amen. Or when you say there's a cancer right here, and I want to be able to say in the name of Jesus, I curse that cancer and it dies. Amen. That's what I want. But I have to give up certain things in order to get certain things. I have to let go of certain things in order to maintain certain things. I'm almost through. You can't chase purpose and cling to plan B. You're either in it or you're not. God doesn't bless partial surrender. You weren't created to live divided. You never were created to live divided. You were created to live devoted.